B-Pod Studios.
Toucher and Rich, covering Radio Row from north to south. Presented by your New England Volkswagen dealers. On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We are Toucher and Rich. This hour of Toucher and Rich, Rich is in Miami. Brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. And, you heard by now, Kobe Bryant and his 13.
Real quick, before we get all serious, I do have a quick little bit of
more Saved by the Bell.
No, not more Saved by the Bell. But
how'd that go over? You're on Twitter. That went over like hotcakes, right?
Fred, if everyone loved you, you wouldn't be the controversial king that you are. Right?
Bunch of oxes is what I say.
You gotta shake the tree every once in a while.
I bet you if I went to the Toucher and Rich mentions that it would be 75% positive.
Ooh. You're probably right. Yep. I think that our listeners are very supportive. So this is something that I just found out during the commercial break, so I had to let you know. Tomorrow, 6:30 a.m. on our own show.
There's going to be hell to pay for the Boston Patriots coming in here from London.
Bob Fesco! Hey.
Boston.
Nice.
Kiss my ass twice.
Hey, good on him. He agreed to come on. That is Kansas City's own Bob Fesco.
Getting on in half an hour before he has to go on his own show.
You know what? Good on him. My respect level went up a little bit a notch. He's going to come and join us right here on our
now,
show.
Now, did you
at
ask
Pompous
him?
Mountains and
Maine.
No. Jim Louth, who did a great job, walked over there. Because, I mean, as I said, it's like walking to another side of a football field to talk to anybody.
Right.
So Jim went over there and talked to them, and he will be on with us tomorrow morning at 6:30. I have a feeling he's going to give us the what for.
No, he'll be all like, we'll see.
I said stick it in the Atlantic Ocean, I didn't mean you to.
That's it. Right. I mean, shove it into the Atlantic Ocean.
Everybody else.
Even though he's from New Jersey. All right, so has anyone started to arrive?
A little bit. I'm taking a look. Pro Football Talk is doing their thing. There's a couple shows. I didn't realize, but there's a whole second half of this that I haven't seen. It's just a sea of tables. And the good news is that I've already seen some of the guests that are going to be here this week, and it's big. I mean, of course, you know, what? You'd rather go to Miami and do Radio Row interviews than go to Minneapolis? I think that is a the belief this week. And on top of that, we've already got a bunch of good guests lined up. Big Poppy, I'm going to be talking to him, I think, on Thursday. Also, we have the McCourties. They're going to be with us as well. There's going to be a bunch of Patriots because, obviously, they're not playing. They will all be here. And, of course, tonight I will have my time with Andy Reid, Jimmy Garoppolo, Wes Welker, whoever else you want. I can't think of really nothing to talk to Patrick Mahomes about, is there? I mean,
just his annoying girlfriend.
I mean,
you could do that, but I'm sure someone else might do that as well. But you did make a good point, is that Wallach on the beach.
We really missed out on an opportunity.
With, like, black socks with the, like, garters on it, like the things that hold them
up. Let's go surfing now.
We could just see, you know, Big Kahuna Wallach.
That's right. Just hitting the waves.
You know, the big surfboard. Just, hey there, ladies. How you doing? It's time to party. Hang 10. Hang loose.
Sets his alarm for 4:30 to go out to the beach. There's nobody out here. There's nobody out here.
He is. The Celtics would fly him anywhere. He could fly any flight he wanted to. And he took a stupid 5:30 flight.
Well, he said, what time? Gorman's flying at what time? He's like later afternoon. In the afternoon.
Yeah. Like he's taking a direct flight, by the way. Oh. But yeah. John's taking the layover in Charlotte.
You know, anytime you can work on a Sunday and then get up at 5 when you don't have to on a Monday morning, you got to do it.
This town is insane. So I got in like around maybe 10:30 last night and I was starving. So I just went walking down like the main drag here and like around. And by the way, I ate like my weight in tacos and fell asleep on it. So I'm feeling real healthy this morning. But there was at 11 o'clock at night on a Sunday night, you would have thought that it was the busiest club night of the year. I mean, there are women in, like, you know, short skirts, dressed to the nines. Everyone's going to the clubs. And this is on a Sunday night. I know Sunday's usually, what, like, industry night where, you know, in most cities.
Yeah,
like, you know,
Sundays and Mondays are big industry night, Jeff.
See, I didn't know Mondays. I knew Sundays were huge.
Yeah,
but
more so Mondays because no one in the industry works on Mondays.
And as pretty and as amazing as the beach itself is, once the sun goes down, get a little scary. Get a little sketcheroo what's going on down towards the beach. You hear noises and things going on down there. I saw a couple of ambulances. Yeah, you kind of stay off the beach once the sun goes down around this area.
All right, now, are you in the South Beach area or Miami Beach?
I'm right there. I'm in South Beach. So, okay. I mean, we're, you know, where you see all the Art Deco hotels, you know, like the
Versace
Delano
Mansion.
Is that South Beach or is that Star Island? Okay,
because I know it's
Star Island is where, like, all the, like, you know, A-Rod has a place and all those other people and all that, so.
No, the thing about the Versace Mansion, it was right there. It was right in the heart of things.
Oh, well, then I guess I am close to it because, I mean, this is right where you see all, like, the movies when they talk about South Bay. I mean, we're right there. And this conference center is just right in the middle of all of it, too. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, the location is phenomenal. But as I said, you walk by that beach at night, it's like the land of the whispering bushes. Some weird stuff going on.
Are you
there.
Saying it's like the Fens?
I don't know what the sounds were, but it was.
Just keep your keys quiet, is what you're saying.
Do not jingle the keys.
Yeah.
You do not do that. But yeah, no, it is definitely a little strange.
Have you seen where the Gronk beach party is going to be?
No, you know what? I'm actually going to try to look for that today. I want to see where the location is and how that's all being set up. I think it's in South Beach. I think it's right around this area. Everything's kind of within this area right around here. And apparently a couple people from the station got here early. They went to the beach. They went beaching.
Oh, so cool.
I've just heard that there was a group that went to the beach that got here nice and early. I got in around the same time Felger did. I ran into him at the lobby last night. So he just got here. I think everyone got to choose what time they wanted to roll in, and he and I got in late. So I'm not quite sure what everyone else has been doing since then, but I think tomorrow is the night that Maz and Felger and Jim Murray like to go and get banged up. And then
brag that they smoked weed.
Yeah. But hang on. You have to admit, it was shocking how much it affected Felger.
No, like, I know. But it's just funny when Maserati is like, because I used to have an agent that did the same thing. Like, but my agent was like 90. He'd be like, and then we brought out the treats.
Give the poor guy a break. What do you think the last time Maz actually went out and, like, raged was? He gets to do it once a year.
No, I think
he's away from his family.
I think that when Maz plays golf occasionally, he'll take edibles. I think that's Maz's whole thing now.
Really? He's a big edible guy.
Yeah, like, every time he's with Murray, they take their treats. I just remember it, like, really annoying me. Like, all right, you're hungover. That's cool. And then, like, yeah. And then he brought out his treats.
Somebody said, is Merriweather going to come visit us? How far away is a pop?
Merriweather is in Miami. If you looked at his Instagram, he was doing a signing yesterday in Miami.
And are you kidding me?
And he has, it's a video. And he says, I'm in Miami. Everyone come hit me up. It's beautiful here. I'm here. Everyone's here.
Producer Dan, do you have his contact info?
I do not. He's the one that would always call us. That's why we'd sit around and wait 8 o'clock.
You know, I have. I could direct message him. He's got to come on with us.
Yeah, he's got there. I mean, I know for a fact he's there because he was on Instagram saying, oh, look at the Super Bowl. Super Bowl.
All right. Well, then I am going to chase down Brandon Merriweather. Let's see if we can get it. So we might have Fesco and Merriweather on the same day.
Oh, Merriweather will do the show.
There's no question.
You might have to book him 8 times, but he'll make it eventually.
Right. I thought you meant 6 p.m.
But it was funny. Just it's like I'm thinking, like, who's going to this signing? Like, oh, Brandon Merriweather.
Down here, though, he's kind of like a – because no. he played down here, played college down here.
No.
He also – what's that?
No. I don't think that there's a –
Give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't know.
I don't. I mean, someone asked him to do it. I mean, I'm sure he got paid to do it. But
so you're saying his signing probably looked like the Curt Schilling.
There was a bunch of guys. There was a bunch of guys.
Nobody was there.
There was a bunch of guys.
It was Merriweather and other guys.
But I don't know who the other guys were. But yes, it was.
Oh, I saw that. It was him and Warren Sapp, right?
Oh, a bunch of. Was it like a U signing? Like all the Miami guys?
Signing? It must have been.
Must have been.
I would have Warren Sapp on.
Yeah, you could ask him about...
You got to have a fall guy.
Yeah, got to ask him about that. The rumors that cocaine, he tested positive for cocaine before the draft. All right, Sherrod Blakely is going to join us and talk about the impact of the Kobe Bryant death on the team. I know he's very close to Tatum, and we'll talk to him about that in just a few moments.
The coach of his 13-year-old daughter Gigi's basketball team.
Mom is on three, one, two, three.
Mom. It's a lot of fun. I mean, she's really driven, very competitive, and we have a group of kids that love the game. They're going to have an appetite to learn more. And so I enjoy being around them.
Just slow it down. Slow it down. Hit her. Off you go.
What's the biggest challenge in coaching your own daughter?
Making sure she knows that I love her whether she plays well or plays like crap.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. You know, you're my daughter before you're a basketball player. And it's important that she knows that that's how I feel. And those aren't words. You have to behave that way. You have to show her that. After a tough game, you get in the car and it's forgotten.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich is down at the Super Bowl thanks to your New England Volkswagen dealers. Adam Jones is in for Wallach, who called the game last night. Sherrod Blakely covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Sherrod Blakely, hello, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I am doing well. Adam Jones was just telling me that you covered the Pistons.
Yes, many moons ago. Actually, not that many moons ago, when they were relevant. So I guess you're right. It is many moons ago. Oh, yeah. I think about it.
It was right after I moved probably out of there that things got irrelevant. But, all right, so you were covering the team when they beat the Lakers, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so what were some of the feelings around that Pistons team about Kobe Bryant? Because this is going back a ways.
It is going back a ways. One of the guys on that Pistons team was Richard Hamilton, who knew Kobe well from their battles in PA, going all the way back to, you know, when they're high school kids. And the one thing that Rip talked all the time about whenever Kobe's name came up was just how he forced you to step your game up. He was so competitive, so driven, that if you didn't elevate your play to being pretty damn close to your peak, he was going to humiliate you and embarrass you and let you know about it every single second you were on the floor. He was that good. He could talk that talk and back it up night in, night out. And, you know, it's now that he's gone, there's just there's a clear sense of loss that many are feeling, not only in terms of basketball, but just beyond that. Because Kobe, I mean, let's be honest, he became more than just a really good basketball player. He became a global icon when you look at some of the things he did outside of the game of basketball, some of the things that he was involved with, you know, in his post-basketball playing life. So it's a tremendous loss on many levels for many people across the globe.
Now, Sherrod, is covering the death of a figure as big as he is and an athlete as talented and prominent as he was, is it somewhat complicated because of his checkered past? Because you obviously, you know, when he passes, you want to talk about how big he was for the game, but it's almost, you almost can't leave out the bad stuff as well.
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily become complicated because really that initial burst of information, you're focusing mostly on just what they meant to the game specifically and then also what they meant beyond that. But certainly in the following days and in hours, there will be a little bit more spotlight, you know, showing a more balanced portrait of Kobe. Because, again, he was not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. He had his flaws. He made mistakes. He did things he should not have done. There's no doubt about that. But I think those particular conversations, I think there is a time and place to have them when someone has passed. 50 minutes after they're officially dead is probably not that time. But to your point, you absolutely, I mean, those conversations have to take place and those discussions will take place. I just don't think that in the immediacy of someone dying, do you start, you know, bringing up all the not so nice things that they did in their lives.
All right. If LeBron never wins another ring, will Kobe be remembered as a better player than LeBron?
That's a great question. If LeBron does not win, I would say yes for me. I think, what LeBron has done in his career, he will go down as one of the all-time greats. There's no doubt about that. But the difference between him and Kobe more than anything else, and you talk to people who have been around both of those guys, and they will just say the level of drive that Kobe had was far superior to that of LeBron. And that's not a knock on LeBron as much as it is a giving Kobe props because, again, he was so driven to succeed that when I think back to Kobe, like that 2010 title that they won over the Celtics, that team had no damn business winning a title. But Kobe willed those knuckleheads to victory, to winning it all. And to me, I just think that his drive separates him from pretty much anyone that you would have in the conversation with him other than maybe Michael Jordan.
Okay, so Jason Tatum was close to Kobe Bryant. In fact, some people were saying that was a negative, not any character issues, just because of the way
the mid-range Kobe jumper that he convinced him to shoot.
Right. So did you get a chance to talk to Tatum yesterday or to observe him?
No. Tatum was in my – well, he didn't play in the game and because of, you know, he's just dealing with – you know, some health issues, but even if he were healthy enough to play, I'm not sure he would have, to be honest with you. I mean, Kobe and him were very close. I mean, it's like growing up with someone who you idolize, and then that idol says, hey, we can be friends now. And you know, there's a certain starstruckness that I think Tatum has always had about Kobe, and certainly with his passing, I think it probably hit Jason harder than it did a lot of players because of the closeness of their relationship. A lot of guys, you know, they didn't really say much to Tatum last night because there really wasn't a whole lot to say. They could tell that he was in pain, and they just wanted to let him know that they were there for him, but they didn't want to crowd him at the same time. So, again, for him, certainly lots of emotions that he's coming to grips with, but the thing about Kobe Bryant, if you've been around Kobe, you will know that Kobe wants you to just go on and play. Go on, win the next game, and kill whoever is on the schedule. That, if you're talking about, you know, ways to honor Kobe, if you're one of his friends, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, because
that's exactly what he'd do.
Right, because when they were kicking around the idea of not playing the games last night, that was kind of a narrative, right, that's not what Kobe would have wanted, that, you know, his idea would be to still play.
Yeah, and his idea would have been not to just play, but go out there and drop 60 on someone.
Right.
I was a little disappointed that Tatum wasn't healthy enough to play because I do believe that if he were good enough to play health wise, it would have been one of his best games ever. Because again, that would have been the way to honor Kobe.
Would the Celtics have won that 2010 championship if Perk didn't go down?
I believe so. I will go to my grave believing that just because. The way that Celtics team was built with Perk in the middle, there's no way in hell you'll ever convince me that that series would have ended any way other than Larry O'Brien trophy coming back to Boston.
Scal did his best there at the end. He tried to keep it together.
Yeah, he did, and I appreciate it. We all appreciate
it. We never would have gotten the Scal phone call, though, the day after when he was roaming the streets of Hollywood.
Did you ever hear that, A. Sherrod? It really was unbelievable.
I heard about it, and the stories I heard about it were pretty damn hysterical.
Yeah, unfortunately, Rich didn't get to be here, or it would have been better. But what happened is that, he called in. We didn't ask him to call in, and he was just, like, roaming the streets of Hollywood. He wasn't drunk or anything.
It's because he was heartbroken, and that was like the first time that he called in and he wanted to apologize to the city. He was like, "I can't go to sleep. I've just been walking around." At the time, it was 3 a.m. LA time, and he was on his own. And he just said, "I am absolutely crushed, and I just want everyone to know that we tried our best, and I am so sorry. And I was just like, dude, this is like a super cool human moment that you don't really hear from a lot of athletes. They either bury it inside, or they come out with this, you know, false machismo, like, or they just, you know, shut you off. But it was cool to hear him do that, and I think that that was the side of most athletes that you don't see. But I mean, dude did try his best, you know, without Perkins there. He did his best.
But I tell you what, I think part of that has to do with the fact that he believes the same thing we do, that there's no way in hell they would have lost that series if they had Perk.
Right.
Yeah. I don't care what the hell the analytics and all that other crap says. Perkins was the one that would have helped you get over the top. Now, does that mean he's your best player? Hell no. No. But that group with him in the middle, oh, my gosh. Come on now.
Then they traded him for Jeff Green, which I love a lot of the moves that Danny Ainge has made. That one I will never understand. I'll never understand that one.
Now, Sherrod, what was more fun, covering the championship Pistons team or the championship Celtics team?
I got here right after the championship in Boston.
Oh.
So I didn't get the relish and all that glory. The thing about the Detroit one, though, it was so damn unexpected. I mean, when you add KG and you got Paul and you got Ray, you're supposed to win a championship
right.
with that guy. But Ben Wallace, Chauncey Billups, Rip Hamilton, Lindsey Hunter, your man off the bench, that doesn't exactly scream, we got this. Especially when you look across the roster, you've got Kobe, you've got Shaq, you got Karl Malone, you got Gary Payton, and granted, you got old Karl Malone and old Gary Payton, but still, they were still relatively decent players. And for the Pistons to not just win that series, but they won it in five games, and it was really like a five-game sweep. And at one point in that series, I was really hating on Kobe, and it was completely personal. He sent one game into overtime, and the game was in L.A., and my son, my oldest son, was graduating from pre-K the next day. So I had to catch a red-eye flight. Only way it would have been complicated is if the game went to overtime. So what did Kobe do? He sends his son of this game to overtime. And so for like a good hour and a half, I'm just absolutely cursing him out in my mind and my lips. Fortunately, I made the flight. And then after that, I was okay with Kobe.
Did you know Mitch Albom?
Yes.
Yeah, he's a prick.
I'm not going to.
No, you me? Think he, no one doesn't think he's a prick. I had to work for that dumb radio show. Oh, believe me, he's a prick. You know it as well as I do.
I will. Both teams play hard, as Rasheed Wallace would say.
I'll tell you this. You don't know he has big ears because he covers them with hair.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he's a jackass. All right. Well, A. Sherrod Blakely, thank you for joining us. Obviously, very unexpected news yesterday with the passing of Kobe Bryant, and it making it really sad is that his 13-year-old daughter was on the helicopter as well, which is extremely unfortunate. Well, A. Sherrod Blakely, you can see him on NBC Sports Boston, and where'd you live there in Detroit? What part of town?
I lived in Shelby Township, which is about 15 minutes outside of from the palace and about 25, 30 minutes outside of Detroit.
Yeah, they put that palace right in a convenient spot.
Great commute.
It was just a fantastic Auburn Hills. Why not? All right. Thank you so much, A. Sherrod Blakely.
Okay, my friend. Talk to you soon. Take care, guys.
All right. Appreciate it. There you go. Yep. Very unexpected.
Everyone
news.
Said something. Yeah. Everyone said something yesterday. You know, I mean, I saw Kareem Abdul-Jabbar put something on Twitter, and there's a bunch of people that knew him, but for some reason, the one that was like the toughest to watch, the one that really was crushing, was Doc Rivers. Like,
yeah.
When Doc Rivers spoke, like, he couldn't compose himself. As a matter of fact, when he first, a lot of teams did this, they spoke to the press so the players did not have to. And Doc Rivers got in front of the media, and for the first 30 to 45 seconds, he just couldn't talk. He was just there, just sobbing. And when he finally spoke, I mean, he was doing it through tears. And on top of that, you had Greg Popovich, who, you know, after the game the other day or yesterday, came out and said, they played well. We played, we didn't play as well, but who cares right now? And just continued to talk about Kobe Bryant. But for some reason, it was Doc of all the people that killed him.
It was unexpectedly emotional. There's something about being in athletics, I think, or being that kind of competitor that makes you, I think, a little bit more raw. It was he was unexpectedly emotional in you know that, what? I'll, in that circumstance.
We can go to headlines. I'll play you out this doc clip because it's and remember, this is after about 45 seconds of him just gathering himself. But, I mean, out of all the things that have been said about him, this might have been the most poignant.
I just don't have a lot to say. The news is just devastating to everybody who knew him, known him a long time. And, you know, he means a lot to me, obviously. You know, he was such a great opponent, you know. It's what you want in sports. He had that DNA that that very few athletes can ever have, you know, the Tiger Woods and the Michael Jordans. I was getting to know him more since he retired, you know. Yeah, this is a tough one. I mean, we have to go play. The news is just so devastating for Vanessa and his family, and this is just shocking news for all of us. And sorry, I don't have a lot to say. I just can't. I have to go talk to a team before a game and tell them to play a game.
Toucher and Rich.
.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich is in Miami for the Super Bowl, brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. The only roofing that has members of Tesla in their roofing company.
Because it's metal roofing.
And there's nothing that screams metal more than Tesla.
By the way, speaking of Tesla, I just texted our own Mike Lockhart because I have not heard this. I have not seen it. I've only read about it, and some of our listeners have pointed this out to us. So I was traveling last night when the Grammys were on.
Yes.
I have not seen the Aerosmith performance.
Nor have I.
Okay.
That was good.
I am...
I was up for it. It was good.
Well, I'm hearing word...
And by good, I
that
mean.
It was Motley Crue-esque, and in that
good.
Steven Tyler was speaking in gibberish.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good with what they did to Joey Kramer.
Well, what's going on with the Joey Kramer thing is insane right now. Because, you know, obviously the backstory is that he was injured, and then during his injury they had a replacement drummer play some of the shows. But over this past weekend, not only were they going to be playing at the Grammys with Run DMC, and it was going to be a big deal, one of the showstoppers, if you will, during the Grammy that they do every year, but also they were being honored for their charity work for this Music Cares charity event.
Yeah.
And there were going to be a bunch of different people, like very famous people, who were going to be honoring them. And Joey Kramer said, all right, well, I'm good enough to play. And not only did they tell him that the four members of the band had voted that he wasn't good enough to play, they wanted him to audition to see just how well he was. So audition for his own like band.
And by the way, like how good is everyone else? Like
well, at this point, I mean, these
after
guys
watching last night, not good.
Yeah, that's the thing is that like these guys are old. Like so, I'll give it. So let's say Joe Perry's still good. I guarantee you that no one else is on their A game.
Okay, but
I mean,
let's
old.
Just say, let's give the other four members of Aerosmith the benefit of the doubt. Let's say he stinks, and let's say he's not fully recovered, and they don't want to embarrass him or have the band be embarrassed. That's one thing. But why did they hire security guards? There's a video of Joey Kramer showing up for one of the practices, and they have hired security guards to keep him out of the practice.
Because they've all gone insane. Because like it's all caught up to them and they've gone insane.
So that to me, and also I read something and I need to find it, but I thought I'd read somewhere that when someone replaces you, like he had to pay for the replacement. He had to give the guy like $20,000 a week or something like that.
What? $10,000 a week for practice, $20,000 a week for gigs.
When's Wallet paying up?
That's right. He probably should do that.
Yeah, seriously.
But so
you want his pay? It's $5 a week.
It's one thing to say that you can't perform because I don't think the quality of the product should be good, and it's the other thing to be a total dick and like and keep him out of things. Now, I guess he was on stage with them to accept their Music Cares Award, but he did not play. So I'm dying to hear what this sounds like because, I mean, you know, to me, Aerosmith's pros. I've always thought of them as pros. I've always thought they're one of those bands that when they go on stage, kind of like Def Leppard was, they're going to sound great no matter what. They just announced that they're coming to Fenway Park again. And
Aerosmith?
Yep, Aerosmith. Ouch. With Extreme, as a matter of fact.
Well, I mean, Extreme. Now, is it Extreme everywhere or is it just here? Because the amount of love for Extreme in this town is just ridiculous.
I legitimately liked Extreme. I thought the first album was great, although all the lyrics were about children, which is somewhat creepy. And then the second album, Pornography, I thought that, you know, More Than Words, a good song, Wholehearted sucked, but the shredders on that album were pretty good. When I was into hair metal, that was a quality hair metal band. And Nuno Bettencourt was one of the best guitarists alive.
Yeah, and he'll let you know. Apparently, very difficult to deal with, Nuno Bettencourt.
I did not know that, but
I keep meeting guys that like played in Boston, like in bands, and not very good things to say about Gary Cherone. Not good things to say about Nuno Bettencourt.
Oh,
they apparently, and he's been, I guess, been very busy with session work. But
well, isn't the drummer of Extreme essentially responsible for Godsmack? Like he was their.
I would hope so.
Yeah, he was their manager, and did he manage the Smashing Pumpkins for a minute too? Yeah. So he's done very well.
Very well. So I mean, to make up for the Smashing Pumpkins, he gave the world Godsmack.
I said there has to be a balance in quality.
Yeah, I mean, for all the look at me, I'm tortured of Billy Corgan and Smashing Pumpkins. They just brought out.
Ooh, stay away! Look at me, I'm only 5 feet tall. Look at me, I'm only 5 feet tall. Can't get on the rides at Disney World. Stay away!
I had to develop magic powers because I'm really tiny.
In an elevator, I can't get on the high floors. Can't reach the buttons anymore. That's why I'm only 5 foot 2.
So I'm giving my poking stick so I can reach. Yeah, so there you go. Aerosmith Rock Icons and 2020 Music Cares Persons of the Year perform on September 18th.
Oh.
And the New Kids on the Block. See, here's the deal with New Kids on the Block. I'm guessing the first two New Kids on the Block tours do very well because there is that, including my wife. Like, you know, if you're
the nostalgia,
if you're
get out there.
I don't think you have to see them more than once. I'm guessing the Block don't.
What if you just kind of get up there and like kind of just black it all out though? You kind of faint from the excitement. You may have to go a second time.
Okay. So New Kids just did that like '80s mixtape tour where it was like Debbie Gibson.
It's their only show of 2020. Is going to be there.
And I think Belle Biv DeVoe is going to be there as well.
That's right. Bobby Brown, not available.
That's right. So if for a little bit later, I want to hear a little bit of the Aerosmith thing, because I think that maybe people are being a little unfair.
There's a good part, Rich, where Steven Tyler is kind of, he kind of is like just making noise over a Joe Perry guitar solo. Joe Perry does not look like a fan of it. Okay. He looks a little upset.
He's scatting too much.
Yeah, he was a little.
Scat doobie dabba doobie. He's over his
scat quota. Yeah, he was a little over.
Yeah, because I have a feeling they have a hard time hearing the monitor. Well, there's only two guys in the band. There's only two guys in the band that can move. So I would imagine that there's, and I'm not making light of it. I mean, I'm saying that there's like two guys in the band that can move.
I mean, you got to see them. I mean, if you've never seen Aerosmith, now you have to see them because you just wonder how much longer they can do this. I mean,
yeah, 5 years ago.
Yeah, watching last night, they're past it.
I guess Flavor Flav came on stage with them, too.
Oh, Jesus. Flavor Flav came on with Vanilla Ice when he did the Arsenio Hall show. Flavor Flav will do anything. They wrote Love in the Elevator. Love in an Elevator specifically so they could say that.
Right.
If you think about it, Rich, and like they didn't write the lyrics or anything. And by the way, if you go through the Grammy Awards and who won, the amount of people that write these songs is hysterical. Except for Taylor Swift, apparently just writes them herself. There's at least six people involved in every song.
Okay, so here's, I think, a little bit of Aerosmith from last night, I've been told.
Just
Dude, that's great.
Yeah, that wasn't that bad.
Yeah,
that was fantastic.
Maybe the visual let me down because the audio there didn't sound too bad.
No,
yeah, the visual was a tough watch, though.
From what I've been told, is most of the performance has been scraped off the internet. Or I'm not kidding you. That's what Mike told me.
Because that was not bad.
That was great. Dude, yeah, if I went and saw Aerosmith and Run DMC on stage together and that's how it sounded, I'd be like, okay.
If I saw Run DMC, I'd be afraid of dying.
Well,
because they're so old now.
Well, didn't he lose his voice?
He didn't lose his voice. It dropped like 8 octaves and is scratchy. So,
that's fantastic. Matter of fact, that's the tour that they should do. Aerosmith should tour with Run DMC.
I don't know.
That would be a great tour.
When was the last Run DMC? Because the album with Mary Mary on it was, I was at basketball camp when that came out.
Raising Hell was like 83.
No. Raising Hell was like, I was in middle school. Raising Hell was like 86.
Oh, really?
The first Run DMC album was 82. Then the Run DMC was 82. Then I can't remember the name of the second album. Then Raising Hell was like 85, 86.
Who's managing Aerosmith? Get smart. Make real money and go on tour with Run DMC. That's a show.
I don't know if there's no Jam Master Jay, and I don't know if I can see Reverend Run roly-polying around the stage. That might be a little bit too much.
Yeah, they're
for
both
me.
Like, I looked this up last night. They're both like 55. Daryl and
all old. Come on.
55? They're only 55?
Yeah, no. Steven Tyler's like 71 or whatever. Rev Run and the, yeah, they're like 55, dude, I think.
They're only 10 years older than me?
I guess.
They were like, Jesus. 18 when they were big. Remember when they first broke?
Yeah, but only 10 years.
I'm gonna fact check myself.
When I was 7, they were 17 and did their first record.
Sure.
Okay. All right.
55.
Bert Breer, by the way, he is here.
He's there.
Mm-hmm.
Does he want to talk about Saved by the Bell?
Does he want to talk about Saved by the Bell? No. I mean, maybe he does.
All right. Because I'll do it again if you want.
Bert, by the way, Bert is a trooper for coming in because I know he's staying like way far away from here. And originally he was supposed to come in tomorrow. So, I mean, at the last second he came in. So good for Bert.
Yeah, well, he gets paid. So let's not shake his hand too much. All right. We'll be right back.
All right. Great.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
Toucher and Rich, and by the way, I guess they really have scrubbed the internet of the Aerosmith performance because, they played for 7 minutes and it cannot be found. And if you go to Grammys.com,
burned into my brain.
Yeah, like, so that snippet we heard, I guess, is when, like, the train got on the tracks for like a second, and then I guess
they went right back off.
Yeah, and then I
someone at the Academy was like, dude, just give me the best 10 seconds you got. I just want 10 seconds that don't sound laughable.
Well, you have to believe that the Grammys would want the traffic. So they would, I mean, it's not, so they would want to have the performances up there. So the idea that they scrubbed it must have sucked.
Well, here is Steven Tyler backstage ran into Flavor Flav. And if you want to hear what those two sound like when they meet, here it is.
Bro. What up, Steve? This is crazy.
You know,
I get to meet Steven Tyler, man. Come on. This is crazy right now for me, yo.
Well, just know this. Your arm's too short to box with God.
That's right.
Yeah.
Already,
are you going out now?
Hey, I already know what time it is.
Oh, yeah.
Word up, man. Love that. Yo, man, this is a honor, man. This is...
And that was the meeting of the minds.
So Flavor Flav made reference, obviously, to the clock around his neck, is what he was saying.
Yes, my arms are too short to box with God. Is that what Steven
Tyler
said?
Your arms are short so you can box with God? I don't know. All I know is that he weaves feathers in his hair, and it's really weird. What do you think, Steve? If Steven Tyler was like Rip Van Winkle.
I'm hearing that's a Wu-Tang lyric?
Ah.
Okay, well, good. Well, Steven Tyler, a big fan of Raekwon, the chef.
And then he said this.
Hey,
said,
this is Steven Tyler, and you listen to Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the sports hub. Hey, this is Steven Tyler, and you listen to Teacher and Rich.
No.
Toucher. Ooh. Hey, this is Steven Tyler, and you know where to Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the sports hub.
Thank you. Beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
The best is when he hears that my name's Toucher.
He
goes, ooh, now we got something to work with.
Toucher, now it's getting naughty.
That's right. I'm the first one to ever think of this. All right. Well, Bert Breer is over there. Now, do you feel like there's more people around now?
Yeah. Now it's filling up. Like, I think I saw Bert Weiss. Not Bert Weiss.
Bert Weiss?
How? Not Bert Weiss. He's the guy we used to work with.
Was he on stilts?
He wasn't. Saying that was Sully from Godsmack. No.
Really? Sully from Godsmack? You could see Bert over him?
Charlie Weiss, I meant. Who was actually underneath? Bert Weiss was underneath him, and you couldn't see him. No. Charlie Weiss is here. I think I saw him over there. Yep, wow. He's holding court.
Really?
Doing his thing. Yeah. He's got
to check his undies.
Yeah, so he's doing his thing, and yeah.
He's doing his thing, so he's eating.
He's leaning.
He's hurting chairs?
Yeah, I saw him. I've seen like a couple of other morning shows, so it's starting to fill in. It's starting to fill in, thank goodness.
Well, we should start
talking anymore.
We should start talking about how much better we are than all the shows, like, so everyone else does. Like, look at all these jackass shows. And they're all saying the thing. It's the same thing about us. All right. We will be back. No commercials here, just the headlines.